from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Can you describe the ruckus, sir?
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on a Friday afternoon. I'm Danny and Dusty. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, we appreciate you. We love you. And thank you for hanging out with us. The NFL is back, ladies and gentlemen, officially and unofficially. Hall of Fame game. Whoop, whoop. Finishing up last night. Not finishing. Because weather got sideways.
That happens all the time. Remember when the field melted one year?
Oh, yeah,
because
that's
it was
right.
Too hot.
Too hot.
We've had thunder and lightning a couple of times now.
I mean, the lightning is what stopped this, but it was the rain was horrendous. It was flood-like conditions. Did you watch any of the game?
Yes, I did.
Did you record it?
I did. Of course I did.
Yeah. You see,
but
you're not going to watch it. You talked down on it, and then you came home and you watched that recording. Because you're a sicko.
I only watched a little bit of it because there were a few things that I wanted to see, and I got out of it what I was hoping to see, which was
Secret Bajent Man.
That's right. I wanted to see the new kickoff, and
which it looked weird as hell.
Don't like it. It's just going to take time for us to adapt. And
did it feel awkward though?
Yes, because it looked awkward for the players because it was the first time they were doing it live against another team. Mm-hmm. Like you just don't know what to expect. I feel like as teams start to adapt to the new rules, I think it will bring the kickoff back to being a viable play, which I will enjoy. But if you think about, they wanted to incentivize a couple of things, right? Not having touchbacks by moving the ball up to the 30. Mm-hmm. They wanted to incentivize having returns be an explosion play in a game. We saw, though, like those pooch kicks that are now being in play. The guys were getting to the 25-yard line-ish, and so it does not incentivize you to kick it out of the end zone, because that was the thing. Is like, well, if they keep returning it to the past the 30, then they're obviously just going to kick it out of the end zone. That's what anybody would do.
Yeah, it makes sense. Just the math behind it.
So I think they're getting it right in that regard. I just want to see one taken to the house. The other thing I was looking for, though, was guardian caps. Because you can wear the guardian caps over your helmet now in the NFL. Now, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't see a single guy on either team wearing one of those.
I think Do you think somebody's going to transition from wearing it in practice?
I was surprised that we didn't see anybody do it, but I'm wondering how many guys are actually going to wear those during games, because they are to mitigate head injuries, mm-hmm. and that is smart and in play, and obviously they're working because of the fact that the NFL is saying, no, guys can wear them in games. They want everybody in the league wears them during practices right now. I was surprised that you didn't see a couple guys peel off and say, no, I'll do it. If just try, give it a whirl during the preseason.
Are we going to move away from helmets in general, like the hard shell helmets, and just move back to soft helmets?
I have no idea what they're going to do, because they've made helmets that are really good, but neck injuries went up because guys were just leading with their head all the time.
Because your helmet, your head's protected now.
Yeah, and you weren't getting your bell rung. I have no idea where they're going to go with it, but those are the two things that I was looking for, because there was nothing to watch in that game.
I wonder if players look at these helmets the same way that basketball players look at the underhanded free throw.
Yeah, as it just being weird, maybe a little soft.
Like, it might be better for you, but I don't want to look weird.
Yeah, I think what we may have seen, though, is like nobody on those rosters played at Stanford or Vanderbilt or Northwestern or Duke or, you know, smart schools.
Yeah, you're not protecting the investment there.
Yeah, they're like, you know, there was a lot of directional school guys playing and last night, and they're like, God, me run fast, play hard.
Need make roster.
Yeah.
A lot of that going on. You're probably seeing a lot of that with most of these teams, the worst finishers in each division last year. And every year, the NFL has at least one worst to first from the dregs of their division to winning the division outright. Your four losers in the AFC last year, your New England Patriots, the Los Angeles Chargers, Cincinnati Bengals, and Tennessee Titans.
And remember, last year, everybody kind of scoffed at, like, saying this is going to be a year that we don't have this worst to first transition, because nobody was, people were high on the Jets as maybe the Jets are going to be the one. Then five plays in, that went out the door. And when Aaron Rodgers got hurt, because your candidates in 2023 were the Jets, Falcons, Browns, Bears, Broncos, Commanders, Texans, and Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Nobody was buying into the Texans. And this is the thing that's exciting, is that the Texans were a team where it was like, well, you got a rookie quarterback, you got a rookie edge rusher. They don't really have the pieces there. Unproven on the outside. All the CJ Stroud has to throw to is Dalton Schultz. You know, like, what are they going to be? Well, turns out CJ Stroud, that dude,
really good. The weapons, really good.
Tank Dell and Nico Collins turned out to be pretty damn special, and Will Anderson lived up to the hype. And they went from worst to first last year. It's going to happen this year because, I mean, I think there's some really good teams and some really good candidates in here. I think Cincinnati, obviously, is number one.
Yes.
You have a team that has gone to a Super Bowl with Joe Burrow. Their bones are still there in the structure. The worst thing that they have going against them is that they play in one of the toughest divisions in all of football. Mm-hmm. The AFC North, there is no easy out in the AFC North.
I mean, this is a team that was above 500 last year and was still at the bottom of the division.
Bengals, you have Bengals, Ravens, Browns, Steelers. Mm-hmm. All of those teams, really damn good.
And what happened to the Bengals last year?
With Joe Burrow got hurt.
They lost their quarterback. And if Joe Burrow is healthy, they are not only a contender to win that division, they are a contender to make a deep run in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a sneaky one for my number two.
Who do you got?
I don't know if anybody has them, because I have the Cardinals. Kyler Murray is healthy. They got him a legitimate weapon on the outside. They were not as bad as when you watch the Cardinals play. They are in a tough division with the San Francisco 49ers, but if you are the war of attrition, if that ever catches up to them, defensively, the Cardinals, under Jonathan Gannon, if they take a step forward, I would not be surprised to see the Cardinals. And we're talking about teams going worst to first.
Yeah.
The team that I have third is the Chargers, but the Chargers have to go through the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
That would mean a Patrick Mahomes injury.
Yeah.
Like that
you,
is the...
You have to count on it, yes.
That is the only thing that saves them. For the Cardinals, right, if you want to knock the Niners off their perch, Debo Samuel would get hurt, Christian McCaffrey would get hurt, a Bosa would get hurt.
Brock Purdy, who's all of not those, looked good in camp.
All of those things like have to happen, right? And they all do happen every year.
Trent Williams could get old.
But the Rams, I think, are going to be really good in that division, too, yeah. And that's going to throw a wrench into that. The fourth one that I have is the Bears. And the Bears is because I don't know about their top-end talent and how they all fit together. But what I do know is that the Lions and the Packers are really damn good in front of them, too. Mm-hmm. And going worst to first, like, they will be improved this year. They were a 7-win team last year.
Yeah.
But they could make that jump. But are they going to catch both of those teams? I don't
probably
know
not, because this isn't just a circumstance of the team, it's yeah. the teams around them. And that's where I am with the Bears. I had the Bears further up, but the gap between Bengals and Bears is...
And what about Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah.
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
Yes. Then I will go with, I don't know, the Commanders?
That's actually, I had the Commanders ahead of the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Because, oh my God, the Cowboys could explode? No way.
Yeah.
And then you look at, you know, the Eagles, it's like, well, probably not, but if Jalen Hurts doesn't look good or he gets injured, yeah. that gets derailed real easy.
Yeah. I just think that there's just not a lot of talent there. And well, anyway.
Yes. I mean, the only way I look at this is very simply the same as the Texans last year, where yeah. if Jaden Daniels is way better than everybody's like anticipating or expecting. Also, you have to be better than the Giants.
Their defense really worries me, though.
It does.
They gave up 518 points last year.
That's Chicago White Sox bad.
Dan Quinn, you bet you have your work cut out for you, brother.
If your run differential looks a lot, or your score differential looks a lot like the Chicago White Sox run differential, you are in trouble.
That ain't it, boss. That ain't it.
I think it was harder for me to pick the least likely in this group than it was the most likely.
It was easier for me to have the Patriots dead last.
Just because of the division?
Because you have the Bills and the Dolphins there. I think that, like, the Panthers being second, like, they're not winning a division, but there's nobody great in that division. We're thinking Atlanta. Thinking Atlanta.
Yes, but also for me, they're so bad. They're so bereft of talent. Name a non-Bryce Young player.
Well, they traded Burns.
Yes, I know.
They don't have anybody.
No, they are the most talentless team in the NFL on paper. And I don't think it's particularly
Xavier
close.
Leggett.
Oh, God.
A rookie.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, they're bad.
And that's the thing is, like, even with that division being dysfunctional, the leap that Bryce Young would have to take is a leap that no one has ever taken in the NFL.
Yeah, the Patriots are not good either, though.
No, but I
and they have to leap over the Dolphins and the Bills.
Look, Tua's heads could fall off.
And the Jets!
Tua's heads could fall off. Aaron Rodgers' leg could fall off. Josh Allen could kill his coach.
And the Patriots still don't win that division.
Like, I get it. But if you're asked, like, gun to my head, yeah. one of those teams has to win their division, even with the significantly more difficult path
yeah.
for the Patriots, I would still take the Patriots.
Yeah,
the Panthers.
I wouldn't.
Because that team.
I hope they play.
I think the Panthers right now are worse than the expansion era Panthers.
Well, yeah, they are, because the expansion draft actually allowed you to have serviceable NFL players. We do get Patriots and Panthers in.
No!
Well, it's preseason game number one. It is. It's next Thursday.
The great suck off.
On the NFL Network. Sign me up for this. I will watch that train wreck.
I mean, that's just.
Let me see. Did they add anybody?
Man.
Oh, they got Chuba Hubbard. Forgot about him. Adam Thielen's still there.
God, he's alive?
Yeah. Oh, they added Damian Lewis on the offensive line. Yeah, they're Shaq Thompson. They're bad, man.
Like, it's...
Jadeveon Clowney plays there.
I mean, backyard.
Raise your hand if you knew that.
I didn't, but also backyard. He doesn't have to leave to
J.C. Horn.
Go to work.
They got names that I remember. I mean, they're not good.
No,
but
I mean...
They'll be all right.
Goodness.
Yeah, that's bad. That's a bad football team.
Can you think of a worse team on paper than that, this year's Panthers? Like, just where you knew even that winless Lions team was more about the things that they just couldn't do than this Panthers team. This is process Sixers stuff.
Yeah. You asked me, can you name any of the Patriots?
Judon.
Yeah, the guy who's holding out right now. Mm. And when his head coach came up to talk to him yesterday, he got up and walked away.
Yeah.
That guy?
Yeah.
Matthew Judon? Yeah, the guy who's holding out and not going to play?
I can name both quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well, the Patriots are better. They got Jarrell Peppers. They got Christian Gonzalez. And Christian Gonzalez hurt last year. Their defense is actually going to be
pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
It's their offensive line is horrible, and they still don't have a wide receiver.
They don't have a skill player.
Whoa. Ramondre Stevenson was really good until he got hurt.
Okay.
He was.
Okay.
He was good. Outside of that, Milwaukee's own Kendrick Bourne.
It's
Jalen Polk. They drafted Jalen Polk.
Hey, you know what? That's good for them.
The third best receiver on a college team might be their best receiver this year.
Mm. Not going for them for any of the fantasy wide receivers, huh? Waiver wires?
No, they got Hunter Henry at tight end.
God, they haven't amputated the leg yet?
Not yet. Their offensive line's bad, though.
Hunter Henry might have as many lower body injuries as me.
Don't put that on him. That's not fair or true.
I mean, he's got to be close.
No.
Hasn't he had four?
No.
Does he have four lower body surgeries?
I don't know about surgeries. I mean, I'd imagine he's had four lower body injuries, though.
I could have swore he's had hasn't he had like surgeries like 4 out of 5 years?
He's gotten hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the idea of him is very good.
Damn.
But it's bad, isn't it?
No, it's not as bad as you think. He's only had two lower bodies. But, I mean, we're talking lacerated kidney.
God, yeah, anytime you have lacerated in the injury, that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, as of recently, MCL sprain, broken clavicle in 2021, leg fracture in 2019,
yeah.
ACL tear in 2018,
okay,
lacerated kidney in 2017, and then concussion in 2016.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought he had two knees.
No. Well, he does have two knees.
Well, no, I mean.
But he's had one knee surgery.
Yeah, I thought he had two knee surgeries. I remember the broken leg.
Yeah.
That was ugh.
Yeah. It's pretty gross.
All right. Come in next.
Damn.
What does it cost to open up a practice? Well, a couple of universities will actually tell you. Danny Nussi, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So while she lay there, if you're a fan of college football, particularly big-time college football, you might have remembered a time when practices were open.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
USC, Oregon?
Yeah.
Open practices. You can go down there and check them out.
Well, until Chip took over. And then it was...
Once Pete Carroll left USC.
Fortress of Solitude.
But that's been the Fortress of Solitude for most universities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it turns out, like everything in college athletics nowadays... Turns out, if you can make a buck, maybe it's a good idea, as multiple universities, including Nebraska, Ohio State, and Alabama, are now letting fans in by purchasing a ticket that goes towards their NIL collective.
Oh, so it's not a state secret unless they can make a buck off it.
Hmm.
Then you can go in and watch those state secrets. Because like the paranoia of coaches is so... wild to me. It's like they're gonna send their spies in. It's like you can close your practice off for the important parts. These practices are going to be the nothing burger practices. Yeah. That it's not game prep, it's not anything strategic. You're not going to see anything except for players practicing normal drills and their scheme stuff. What you will be able to get out of
injury.
It is who's injured and who is healthy. That's about it. You're not going to find out anything
Which
else.
You're going to have – the universities that are doing this now are like, we're going to be under scrutiny for gambling here soon anyways. Mm-hmm. So why don't we just get ahead of this and make some money? Because, look, that's
– good idea.
As this progresses more towards the top 80, top 40 teams in college football,
yep.
Gambling's coming. It's coming. Like, it's – because it's going to be professionalized amateurism. And with that,
amateur about again, college football anymore.
And that's the thing is, trying to pretend like, oh, you know, well, the sanctity of college sports.
Most states you can bet on college football.
Well, I'm saying when we get to this next level, it's going to be fully and totally transparent, and you're going to need
injury reports out there.
An oversight level, and they can't be BS.
Yep.
And so this is a couple of universities, the biggest of universities, really realizing this right now and going. Yeah, let's just make a buck on it.
Yeah.
Why not? For everybody's like, oh, well, Connor Stallions. I'm like, look, man, Pete Carroll used to have everything open. And I mean everything. There were no closed portions of practice.
Right.
They said, stop us, which is what everybody should be doing. Stop us.
No, I don't think you do that if you're most schools. No, there's very few schools. Pete Carroll was so different in that he knew he had more talent than anybody else against. Like, that is the only time you do that is because, like, oh, yeah, you want every coach in America is like, how do you stop Reggie Bush? I don't know. And so it didn't matter at all.
I should say, with the exception of game install, I should say.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Install, and that is a large portion of practice.
Yeah.
But I wonder how many of these are actually going to be open if it's just, you know, during fall camp. And then once season starts, you cut that off because there is so much that goes in on your day to day of what you're keying on, how you're going to attack something, especially when it goes to a game plan on field. Most of the stuff that is, I guess, it's proprietary, Sean. It happens in meetings, and then you're just out there repping it out.
Yeah.
But if you are a coach, say, you know, I'm a coach at Nebraska and you're playing Ohio State, you can watch that practice and very easily tell that who are my guys and who are theirs and how they're going to try to attack us. That's huge.
Yeah.
That is massive, unless you have the overwhelming edge. That USC had.
That Ohio State would have over Nebraska.
Absolutely.
That's kind of... The other part of this is that they're also doing a thing where, yeah, you pay to come to practice, but also you can't go get the autographs unless you join the collective, which is the minimum donation of X dollars.
See,
and then you can go over to the autograph pool, which you
autograph which, hounds are just the worst.
They're scummy. Now the kids, kids, great, awesome. The guy that sits there with the sleeves,
yeah. And you know he's just going to sell them. And what they do is they'll send kids up to sign to get autographs for mm-hmm. them because the players are like, I'm not signing for you, man.
Yeah.
Like, I know exactly what you're going to do. And they ruin it for a lot of the kids, too. I mean, it's God's honest truth. Guys don't want to sign autographs for kids anymore because of the fact that they know that, you know, some creepy old dude slipped him $20 and was like, hey, go get this autograph mm-hmm. and we'll be on your way. What I do like is when it gets spun back the other way and the player will go, what's your name? Personalize it.
Mm-hmm.
That's always cooler for yes. a kid, too. Just personalize it, and then good luck reselling it, Bill. Yeah.
It's great.
It's my favorite.
That's the little things.
Yep.
You know what else are the little things?
Who?
Jeff Russ Orr, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't forget. Yay! Hey! Coming up next year, America's favorite game show presented by the Big Kahuna himself. What's the Sports Center update now?
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the triumphant, it is the glorious return of America's most popular game show, Jeff Russ Orr.
All righty. Simone Biles won her second Olympic all-around title. She's the third to do so and just the first to do it in non-consecutive Olympiads. At 27 years old, she's the second oldest to win the all-around. The last time a non-teenager won gold was Ludmila Tourasheva of the Soviet Union in 1972. Her nine Olympic medals...
Who could forget?
Yeah, right? Who could forget? Her nine Olympic medals are the most for an American female gymnast. Meanwhile, Katie Ledecky notched her 13th Olympic medal, winning silver in the 4x200 meter relay. She is now the most decorated American female Olympian of all time. And let's not forget, she owns the top 20 times in the 1500 meter freestyle. Who is the bigger goat, Simone Biles
or
Katie Ledecky?
Ooh, tough question.
That's tough.
I have a question for you. Go ahead. We'll answer this first, and then I'm going to spin this right back at you.
I think you can make an argument very clearly for either of them. Ledecky, because she's so dominant in her one event. I mean, holds, was it top 23 times for the 1500?
25, yeah. She has all 25.
It's such an insane thing. She's the GOAT of that event. But the flip side is Simone Biles is the all-around champion, which is kind of more, if you're talking the world of swimming, more Michael Phelpsian. Where he is the GOAT of the Olympics and of swimming. So I'm going to go with Biles, but I think you can make a very good case for Katie Ledecky.
I'm going to go Biles. Yeah. Team all around. She does it all. And it's ridiculous. They did that overlay, and I don't care if it's a spring-loaded floor that they do the floor routine on. Her head peaked at 11 feet 8 inches.
She's 4 foot 8.
7 feet higher than her head. I don't care if it's a spring-loaded floor. I know it's a spring-loaded floor. I don't care.
I want to see the average person get 3 feet off the floor doing that.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
Think about what it takes to generate the force necessary to throw her that high in the air.
It's
because she doesn't have the weight to, like, generate that kind of torque. You know what I mean?
Yep. Here's one that I got for you. I was looking this up. When you said that Simone Biles was 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Katie Ledecky, also 27 years old. They were born 3 days apart.
Wow.
March 14th for Simone Biles, March 17th for Katie Ledecky.
Good week for America.
Great week for America. I wonder which month in a
produces the Olympians?
No. Which month of a specific year has produced the most athletic human beings.
Mm.
Like, if you were to go back, somebody's got to have done this at some point.
Oh, I mean, there's some horoscope studies. Like, Andre Bad Mood Rising? Come on now.
When you have that month of March 1997, that's pretty too good. That's two great athletes that one month produced already. I wonder how many.
Something that was in the water.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't fluoride.
What is it called? The Umbrella Academy, where all of those mutants were born on the same day? This got to be one of those days in history where just a bunch of athletes, Hall of Famers in it.
And it turns out it was the CIA that spiked their water.
You're damn right.
Over in basketball, Team USA 2-0 in group play with a convincing win over Serbia and pulling away from South Sudan for win number two. They've got Puerto Rico tomorrow morning at 8:15. Team USA back to dream team status.
Or
let's just wait and see.
Like, what do you mean dream team status? Like just blowing the doors off?
Just blowing the doors off and, yeah.
No.
Being head and shoulders above the rest of the basketball
world. I'm on we'll see. Because there will be a team that gives them a game. They're going to F around and find out.
I mean, Germany went full World War II and gave it to France today.
Whoa.
Can I say that?
I mean, you did.
I did.
So,
it was a snuff film.
Yeah.
So
Franz Wagner bombed a couple of posterizers.
Yeah, he did. There's a photo that's it's going to haunt the French.
Jeez.
There has been some controversy surrounding Team USA and who has not been playing, as Jason Tatum got a DNP against Serbia and Joel Embiid against South Sudan. Talking heads have been freaking out, calling them, quote, benchings. Should this be viewed as genuine disrespect?
Or
is it just pearl clutching?
Pearl clutching. Like I mentioned before, 1992, the Dream Team had six different starting lineups. Michael Jordan was the only starter.
There's a lot of pearl clutching around these fragile egos of the Team USA men's basketball team, whether it's Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum.
I will say
Steph
on the
Curry.
Joel Embiid stuff, have we heard anything about anybody getting mad about Joel Embiid getting benched?
No, he just says weird stuff all the time.
But like the Tatum stuff, the Boston fans, the Bill Simmons mafia, they got their panties in a bunch.
Well, yeah. Have you seen them?
Yeah, I mean,
it's what they do.
It's what happens when the realization that Jaylen Brown was better all along.
Testing on Seahawks quarterback Geno Smith's knee and hip showed nothing significant, and he's not expected to miss any time, but he has sat out the last 3 days of practice, including today. Sam Howell, who was acquired in the offseason, took the first team reps. Smith is entering the second year of a 3-year, $75 million deal, but has no guaranteed money in 2025. Who is more likely to be Seattle's starter in 2025, barring injury? Geno Smith
or
Sam Howell?
Geno.
Two-time Pro Bowl quarterback Geno Smith.
Deuce.
I mean, pay no attention to the, was it 15-17 record that it's posted?
I mean, a bit of a regression last year. They've got this year to see whether or not they want to bring him back next year.
Yeah, I think you're still going to go
Sam Howell is young.
Yeah, I think it's still Geno for now.
Alrighty. Over in baseball, Angels center fielder Mike Trout suffered another meniscus tear in his surgically repaired left knee. He's out the rest of the season. His total games played over the last five seasons, 53 in 2020, which was, of course, the COVID year, so that was a 60-game season. Only 36 in 2021, 119 in 22, 82 in 2023, and just 29 games this year. He's an 11-time All-Star, 3-time MVP. Now let's compare him to somebody. Ken Griffey Jr., 11-time All-Star before a string of injury-filled seasons. He averaged 36 home runs per season in those first 11. He played just 70 games in 2002, 53 in 03, and 83 in 04, but he was never really quite the same after those seasons, topping 30 home runs only twice over his final 10 seasons. Whose career was or has been more affected by injury? Mike Trout
or
Ken Griffey Jr.?
Trout.
I'm going to go Griffey, because even if Trout was healthy, his team wouldn't do anything anyways.
That's fair.
At least the Mariners went to the postseason and won a series.
Yeah.
You know? Like, at least they had that.
Yeah, you don't have the Twitter line of Tungsten Armo Doyle
with
Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't exist with him. It was,
but I think Trout's individual production has been damaged more because, well, Griffey had knocks and dings. Trout's had some pretty serious injuries that are going to be a problem for him as his career progresses.
All right.
Just imagine if over those last, what do we got here? 9 seasons of Griffey's career, he averaged only 19 home runs over the last 9 seasons. And he still finished with 630 on his career.
He's incredible, mm-hmm. man. Like, I love the kid.
If he had stayed healthy, he could have hit 800.
Yeah. But that's the thing about sports, man.
Yep.
He should have gone that
HGH.
He should have gone that Balco plan.
God, roided out Griffey would have been something.
Right? No kidding.
Dude. Man.
That swing with more power?
That's one thing you can just look at Ken Griffey Jr., though, and you'd be like, he never was. Right. Never. Oh. That head always stayed the same size. You know, didn't become just like some mutant that looked like he walked right out of the weight room onto the baseball field.
No, he was just always this, like, the same size.
Just had the sweetest swing of all time.
Oh, God.
Oh. All right, that's it.
All right. That was good. That's I'm good glad one. This is back.
Yeah, there you go.
Alrighty.
Welcome back.
Hey. Aw. Aw. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the Aww. Greatest game show of all time, Jeff Ever. Rust, or presented to you by Jeff Rust. Like that? I gave you a tagline.
And the Big Kahuna Burger.
And the Big Kahuna Burger. Delicious. Coming up next, the Oregon Ducks. They released their new jersey. Danny Dusty, Danny Fan. The Oregon Ducks have released, they've been busy, to be bluntly honest, on the marketing front, which is kind of the Ducks' thing to do. There are many Ducks jerseys that I find to be heinous, disgusting, horrible, and reprehensible in every way, shape, manner, and form.
Oh, okay.
These ones rule.
Yeah, they went back to their Generation O pool again, and they posted... they look very similar to the gangrene ones, the first ones that they unveiled,
mm-hmm.
where it's the retro or the, modern throwback
yes.
that they're doing. But this time in whites, where they got the apple green numbering, they have the duck on the shoulder, and then they have the old school. The part that I like about these helmets, they got the yellow helmets with the old school striping, but they have the O on the side.
Yes.
It's not the interlocking UO.
It's the bridging of the two generations. Yeah. And I think they nailed this.
It looks good.
Like everything about these, I think the only thing that I'm, and again, this aren't made for me because I'm not a duck guy. I don't know if I like the duck on the shoulders.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I feel.
I like him.
I feel like it's maybe too big. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's me.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe Donald needs to be shrunk down a little bit. But
yeah, not for us. Not for us.
But otherwise, I like these because it is that throwback. It is a little bit cleaner, and the diamond plate is nowhere to be seen.
They were going to be ready for it.
I know.
It's coming your way.
They leaked it already on accident, the Oregon Ducks bookstore.
It's going to be white and silver. They got more that are coming. But the whites are the ones that the players said that they are most excited for.
They have have the wings and the diamond plate integrated into both of them are integrated into the collar.
Yeah. And they posted a picture. I think the Ducks store.
Yeah, the Ducks bookstore.
I think they're the ones that kind of first put it out there, and then they're like, oh no. We gotta delete this.
Oops.
But again, I don't know why they like the diamond plating, but they do.
Yeah,
and
they're
white. They're white, black, and silver.
I like the general idea of it all. Just the diamond plate.
There's going to be more coming.
I know.
There's going to be
it's
more
Nike,
coming.
It's Oregon. But these throwbacks, the Generation O's.
They're pretty sick.
These are clean. I like these.
And I like they're going back to the apple green and traditional yellow.
Yeah.
It's not the Volt yellow anymore. They're not messing around with it.
It's okay to occasionally pull that out.
Yeah.
But I think the going back, I am jealous of Oregon in the sense of I wish USC, I get the traditionalism of it. USC, Alabama, Notre Dame, they haven't changed what they've done ever with the exception of the trimming of the collar. Like they've changed the angle in the Nike jerseys. That's about it. And for Adidas and Under Armour for Notre Dame. Otherwise, they've done almost nothing different.
Notre Dame, they just unveiled their Gothic ones that are the thing.
Which is where I was going to go is that they're trying now. Georgia has gone and done tweaks to theirs. Like you can have your base, you can have your historics, you can have but let's tinker. It's okay to tinker. Have a little fun.
I remember USC did the what do they call the little print, the Roman print around the collar,
and
people
was,
flipped out and they changed it right back.
Yeah, and I was like, calm down, guys, calm down.
Hey, man,
have a little bit of fun.
You are shocked that in the world of athletics, there's gatekeeping happening, and you cannot change our history and our tradition.
I know. It's like everyone's like, you have to stay with your actual colorways. I'm like, look, man, give me a black USC jersey. Just do it. Just give me one.
You want?
I do.
I don't know if USC would look good in black.
Just give me give me black pants.
Yeah, they're already evil. They don't need to be made more evil. Yeah.
Give me that Darth Vader feel.
Yeah.
The black and the maroon, I mean, it would look good.
Yeah.
Look good.
I don't think black and maroon looks good.
Really?
No.
See, I love South Carolina's got one, which South Carolina. Yeah. University of South Carolina.
Well, I mean, they're black and maroon, but you have to add yellow if you're SC,
yeah,
and that won't look good.
Oh, you don't think so?
With black and maroon, you look like Air Bacons, which I don't care what people say. Air Bacons are ugly.
Wow. How dare you?
They are. Black, yellow, and red, it does not look good together.
I like it.
Yeah. Looks awful.
Hmm.
Awful. Red's my favorite color.
Hmm.
Can't stand black, red, and yellow together. You look like McDonald's out there.
Hmm.
Yeah, huh? Yeah.
Rubble, rubble.
You look like a McRib.
It's better than looking like Grimace.
Ooh. Grimace.
I mean,
not for the Mets. Mets need to bring Grimace back.
Yeah, no.
They went on a heater after Grimace. Not so much anymore.
Yeah, it's the Mets.
Not so much anymore.
But yeah, I mean, Oregon's going to Oregon with their jerseys, but these are pretty dope. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, they look good.
Yeah.
And like this texture, P1 Tyler on the Vancouver Ford text line says their uniforms look similar to 2019 Baylor. They are throwbacks. So does 2019 Baylor look like 1996 Oregon?
Yeah. Also, those Baylor jerseys were dope.
And it is a different color green.
Yeah.
So
also the Sean Oakman Baylor jerseys.
Those were sweet. I love those.
Clean.
I love those.
Clean.
Those are good looks.
I mean, you know,
those are good looks right there.
Yeah. Just because the university was troublesome doesn't mean we can't say they didn't look good.
Yeah. I mean, look good, feel good, be awful human beings. Yeah. That was Baylor back then.
And play good.
Yeah.
They did play good.
Yeah, we're okay.
They're pretty good.
Yeah,
I know.
And I think Sean Oakman
turned out he innocent.
Yeah, he was one of the guys that he was wrongfully accused.
Yes.
There's a lot of terrible human beings playing at Baylor, and apparently
the most imposing one wasn't.
Apparently he wasn't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go cross the line and say he was a great guy.
No, but he wasn't the worst human being that he was portrayed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
All right. Jeez. I needed Baylor to play Alabama at that time, where you could have Derrick Henry and Sean Oakman doing it at the 50-yard line. You know?
Whew.
That'd be great. All right, that'll do it for us today. Have a great Friday. We will see you Monday from noon to 3 right here on The Fan. Next up, it's 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Bye.
Lower battery.
What the fuck are you talking about, man?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.